Today on Straight Talk Africa, Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe recently celebrated his nation's 37th independence anniversary. But critics say the Southern African country is experiencing unprecedented economic hard times. Great Britain and the United States placed targeted sanctions on Zimbabwe more than a decade ago. This, for what they say, are widespread human rights and civil liberties violations. But Harare says the sanctions are to blame for her economic problems. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali.
Hello, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Ayan Bior, your social media reporter.
Today, it's a discussion on the significance of Zimbabwe's 37th independence anniversary.
And coming up later, our audience has weighed in on our topic through emails, Facebook, and Twitter comments. And we'll reveal some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
Despite Zimbabwe's deep economic and apparent political problems, President Robert Mugabe promises that better times are ahead. My colleague, Paul Sisco, has more.
President Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe is 93 years old and shows no signs of slowing down or relinquishing power. He's determined to run for re-election in 2018 on a date that has yet to be announced. Mugabe became prime minister of newly renamed Zimbabwe following the end of white minority rule in 1980. He became president December 22, 1987. Known as one not to mince words, he famously once told the BBC, "The only white man you can trust is a dead white man." Mugabe was once revered as a revolutionary hero of the African liberation struggle, freeing Zimbabwe from British colonialism. Today, critics view him as a dictator responsible for widespread corruption, a broken economy, crimes against humanity, and human rights violations. In 1987, Parliament amended the Constitution, making Mugabe president with the power to dissolve the government, declare martial law, and run for an unlimited number of terms. Since then, he's won multiple disputed presidential elections with the support of the dominant and powerful ZANU-PF party. The nation is anticipating another vote for president in 2018. On April 18th, amid a dark economic cloud, President Mugabe presided over Zimbabwe's 37th anniversary celebrations. Zimbabwe was once the region's breadbasket, but since 2000 has struggled to feed itself due to drought and the effects of a land reform program that seized white-owned farms and redistributed them to landless black Zimbabweans. Sharp declines in farming production soon followed. President Mugabe repeatedly blames his nation's worsening economy on sanctions imposed by the United States and Britain in 2003 in response to its poor human rights record and actions undermining its democratic institutions. Today, nearly 80% of the population is unemployed. Two of Zimbabwe's best-known opposition figures, longtime critic Morgan Tsvangirai and former Vice President Joyce Muhuru, say they will work together to defeat Mugabe in next year's contest. However, it's not clear who will be the candidate. The alliance is seen as an important first step towards uniting a deeply divided opposition. Other opposition groups say they too will join the alliance in an effort to oust Mugabe. Justina Mukoko, a Zimbabwean human rights activist and director of the Zimbabwe Peace Project, says human rights violations are increasing in the country. Popular protests and defections from factions that have traditionally supported the president are also on the rise.
We monitor and document human rights violations. And we also have a deliberate focus on politically motivated human rights violations. And we do this through a network of courageous men and women who are dotted throughout the country, who give us information that is related to human rights.
In her book, The Abduction and Trial of Justina Mukoko, The Fight for Human Rights in Zimbabwe, she details her arrest, torture, and time in prison for what she says were her media reports criticizing the government. She says public protests are becoming more widespread in the southern African country. Her human rights forum, the Zimbabwe Peace Project, is receiving more and more reports of abuses at the hands of government operatives in Zimbabwe. President Mugabe is promising a series of reforms, and he remains confident of re-election. Many political observers say the presidential vote in 2018 will be closer if the opposition can indeed present a strong, united front, and if the vote is transparent and free. Paul Sisko, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Joining us here in our Washington studio is Moya Lynn Nyaundi, a Zimbabwean human rights lawyer, and James and Blessings Zulu, VOA Zimbabwe reporter. Well, I have to say, frankly, that Moya and Blessings, I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Shaka Sali.
You're most welcome.
Thank you.
And Gadzira Chirumanzu, a beneficiary of the land reform program, is the ruling Zimbabwe African National Union Congress Patriotic Front, or ZANU-PF, director of science and technology. He joins us on telephone link-up from Bulawayo, Zimbabwe's second largest city. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, gentlemen. Can you hear me,
Mr.? Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you.
You're most welcome.
And last thank you, and welcome all the listeners of Studio 7.
Thank you very much. By the way, I should correct you because this is not Studio 7, but rather Studio 52, TV to Africa.
Oh, okay. Well, my apologies.
You're most welcome, sir. And from London, we have via Skype Nick Mangwana, ZANU-PF UK chairperson. Thank you very much for joining us, Nick, all the way from London. Can you hear me, Nick?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
You're most welcome, sir. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. Well, let me come to immediately to you, Moya. Your country has been independent, at least politically independent, for the last 37 years.
Correct.
Your reaction?
We just celebrated independence on the 18th of April.
Mm-hmm.
We're happy to be independent. That cannot be taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
And Independence Day is a cause of celebration. But of course, as a human rights attorney, we are deeply concerned by the human rights situation in the country. And as a Zimbabwean, further concerned that the gains of the independent struggle are not necessarily the gains that we're experiencing now. We've moved from a situation of white minority rule to a situation of minority rule by a selected political few. And similarly to before independence, whereby white minority rule used excessive use of force, arbitrary detentions, disappearances, false treason charges to suppress black nationalists. It's the same situation that we're seeing now in present day Zimbabwe, independent, supposedly independent Zimbabwe, whereby those who've got different political views are targeted. So
you're not telling me, frankly, that there's probably nothing much different from the days that Zimbabwe was Rhodesia and a rebel prime minister known as Ian Smith.
Yes, I hear you. And the last few days or weeks, people have had that debate whereby there are certain individuals who said, you know, oh, it was much, much better during Smith's time. I was fortunate to be born free after 1980, so mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to say during Smith's time things were better. And I appreciate that where they said, okay, there was food in the stores, people could find jobs, there was better health care, schools, and so forth.
I see.
With the present government, things have been dilapidating. High unemployment, the health facility has just completely tumbled, and so forth. And I can understand the comparisons, but
For me, yes, things might have been better for a few white minority after independence. Before independence. But things can be better, not just for the black majority, but for the black majority and the white population. It can be much better than before independence and after independence. It can be better for everybody. But we still celebrate independence.
I see.
Yes.
Well, blessings, obviously, your sister seems to be saying that when you actually look at the report card of political independence and as far as your country is concerned, that you probably have a government, meaning like you have like a democracy, mm-hmm. a government of perhaps some people, by some people, mm-hmm. for some people. Mm-hmm. You agree with her?
I think what it points to is a deeply polarized nation, because depending on which side of the fence or the argument you are on, I think those who support the present government might say, well, Zimbabweans are now empowered, they've been given land. When it comes to literacy, they're actually leading in Africa.
They still do? They used to. Do they still do that?
I think actually? They still do. I mean, literacy, not not in terms of... I think the education system has been deteriorating, but at least in terms of literacy rates, Zimbabwe still tops.
It used to have one of the best,
UN. Yes.
Arguably one of the best mm-hmm. education system, really.
But
on the
flip side, I think you have some people who are really disgruntled. It's understandable because if you have unemployment, which some estimate to be above 90%, and then the human rights abuses, and of course some are also complaining that even if you look at the empowerment programs, they are targeting a few elites, what some have said of most African states, not only just Zimbabwe, that the independence has become mere flag and anthem, mm. I mean, without any benefit to the majority of the people.
Now, you obviously have been very, very closely covering this story, the story of Zimbabwe. You are a Zimbabwean. You come from there. You grew up there. You worked there. You worked on Zimbabwe from afar. And you obviously have talked with a lot of people. What do you get? What sense do you get when you talk to them? Do you get a sense that people feel that perhaps they are far better off today than they were, for example, 15 years ago when the land reform program was implemented?
In terms of the land reform program, I think it's also an area that is contested. Of course, some are saying that they've benefited and they are now beginning to reap the fruits of the land reform program. And obviously, I think the majority of Zimbabweans agree that the land reform program was necessary because after independence, I mean, 80% of the land was in the hands of only 20% of the white population.
Was it 20% or was it in fact about 4,000 or 4,500 white commercial farmers?
Indeed, but they also had, like other ranches and stuff like that. But in terms of controlling the land, I think their population was like in 1980, about 20%, but controlling 80% of the land. And then for the majority black people, 80% of the population, but only controlling 20% of the land. So that was necessary. But of course, the way that the government went about doing its business, some are saying that it's not very different from, colonialism, because you had very few whites controlling 80% of the land. Now we have very few blacks who are multiple farm owners. Mm. So it's not really very different. And also that the yields have not been that encouraging. So, it depends who you are talking to.
When you talk about percentages, obviously the average audience probably may not understand exactly what we are talking about. But when you go back to 1980, I think to be precise, mm-hmm. you had about 7 million African Zimbabweans, mm-hmm. whereas you had about 120,000 mm-hmm. white people. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
7 million? I'm not not sure about that figure.
Really?
I think it could have been less than that. Yeah, in 1980 at least.
I see.
But I think one point that we have to agree on is that the whites controlled, you know, the facets of the economy.
Okay. Well, before we pause for a short break, we want to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa and watch our show live, and don't forget to share it with your friends. Also, we are on Twitter and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Zimbabwe. We'll put some of your tweets on air later in the show, and we'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gizu Yuwat. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Are you there, Mr. Chirumanzu?
Yes, I'm there, sir.
Talk to us about what independence has meant for you and your community.
No, well, this is a really a touching issue, because the for Zimbabwe to understand the true meaning of for independence, we need to go back to the situation when whites invaded Zimbabwe, butchered those Africans who resisted, including our dogs. Up to now, we don't even know where the remains of one of our kings, King Lubengula, the remains are. Now, Zimbabweans are asking themselves these hard questions. What had King Lubengula done to the whites that deserved him to die? So this is really an issue where you will find that whites today, especially Britain, and they are keep and kill, that is USA, and with this, you know, group of Europeans, they are all up in arms with Zimbabwe, particularly President Mugabe. This is not surprising to Zimbabwe, because we know that it was with President Mugabe and the late Father Zimbabwe, Joshua Nkomo, and others that took up arms to make sure that the whites were not going to be in the power in Zimbabwe. So the whites, they still have a bond to chew with the nationalists. So to us, we are really, really more than happy to celebrate the independence of Zimbabwe. But however, you find that our independence has some hurdles. In the first place, there was blood that was shed. There was no absolutely reason for blacks to die. Now, that is really a cultural concern. We lost quite a number of lives because the whites wanted to remain in power. It is not only that. They also came and they changed our culture. You will find that they forced their language on us. Today, Zimbabwe is regarded as one of the, you know, African continent, I mean, a country that can speak English well. Now, that alone, that was the biggest blunder, because we were forced to use or to do or to act like them, something which this country is considering big time. Because right now, you find that, you know, the Ministry of Education, primary education, is introducing a new syllabus. So that is, Zimbabweans need to know their culture. At school, you find that we use Tulane, the prairies of Canada, something that has nothing to do with the development of Africa. We use Tulane, the British Coast Plain, something that has nothing to do with our culture. We need to learn the history of the gold and the other, something that has nothing to do with the development of our culture. So through this independence, we are reversing all these imported ideas or ideologies, and we want to make sure that the values is going to develop using its own thinking, its own ideology. If America today is a big or is a first record with, we need to remember that it is a country. So, through the leadership of President Mugabe and other nationalists, we are fighting that the Zimbabwe can also be
possible. I see.
Like, in education. Today, Zimbabwe is considered to be number one in terms of literacy. So,
I see.
On that score, you will find that it is through the policy, it is through the ideology of President Mugabe.
I see. Now, Mr. Chulumanzu, I have to say frankly that we are trying to experience some problems on the line. It sort of sounds a bit static, isn't it? But let me ask you one question, if you can hear me. The last question, at least, so we can go to your colleague in London, since you actually support both of you support the ruling party. We gather that you happen to be one of the many or lucky few that were the beneficiaries of the land reform program about 15 years ago. Do you feel that you are much better off today than you were 15 years ago?
That's correct. And I think it would be wrong to say I'm one of the lucky. Every Zimbabwean who needs land today can still have it. But the problem with the majority of Zimbabweans by then, they thought this land issue was a political gimmick. So they didn't participate in it. But I can assure you, you ask every Zimbabwean today, you find that he is looking for land. And because of the gains from the piece of land. Remember, Zimbabwe's economy is agricultural based. So it is agriculture that it pushes the economy of this country. So all those blacks who don't have a piece of land, they are poorer as compared to those people who have land. In my case, I have to be very honest with you, I never dreamt that I could have it. More than 100, that is cattle. And for that matter, good breed. Because we were thrown down in the rural areas where we had to act life the hard way. But because of the distribution of land, you find that my life is far much better. And it has been that we were given this land in 1980. Most of Zimbabweans, I tell you, would be flying, using their private jets, because land is economy in Zimbabwe, and the economy is land. I think I also want to point out that recently in Zimbabwe, or currently in Zimbabwe, there is what we call the tobacco auction clause. So far, the black farmers have received more than $100 million. And this money is circulating in rural areas. Whereas before, this was money that was only for the few and whites. And these whites were banking these funds offshore. But this time, you find that through the policy of President Mugabe, through the policy of ZANU-PF, the cake is widely distributed. And I can assure you and vouch that give Zimbabwe 5 years down the line, this country is going to be the jewel of Africa again.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chirumanzu, for your contribution all the way from Bulawayo, Zimbabwe's second largest city. Next time, of course, we are going to deal with your colleague from London, Nick Mangwana, who apparently also happens to come from Matabeleland. Thank you very much, sir.
Hello. Yes, thanks for having me. I come from Mashonaland, but I don't think it matters, right?
I see. What about you? What has independence meant to you and your community so far?
Independence to me and my party and obviously my colleagues and compatriots mean that we get opportunities to choose which direction or just where our destiny takes us. We are not given things for free, but we got that choice. We got those opportunities. We chart our own pathway in which we are going to take our country and our families. These are choices that we could not make at some point because of the restrictions that came with our race. Our race was used as a curse upon us because you are black, you cannot do this. Because of your race, you cannot do one thing or the other. There were courses in Zimbabwe or degrees in Zimbabwe you could not do because of your race. There were even apprenticeship, certain skills and trade you could not do because of your race. There were certain streets you could not even walk. There were certain areas of the country you could not live in because of your race. There were certain parts of the city you could not live in because of your race. There were certain schools you could not go to because of your race. Now, when you talk of independence, we're talking of freedom. Freedom that now gave us the opportunity to do all these things that I said you couldn't do before. Now, the race is no longer a barrier. Even in business, there are certain businesses you could not get into. There were certain barriers, but now they are no longer there. So this is the freedom we are talking about, freedom to do, to exercise the skills and the talents that God bestowed upon an individual. So if you don't succeed, everything being equal, yeah, it might be because of one or two challenges, but it's not because you are impeded by your race. Race is no longer an issue. This is what we are talking about when we are saying we are now independent. We do have the independent of thoughts, independent of action, within obviously the ambit and the parameters of the law. This is what we celebrate when we celebrate Zimbabwe's 37th independence.
Sounds terrific. Race obviously is no longer an issue. But what about those who say there are some other barriers? For example, if you happen not to be a ZANU-PF card-carrying member, you are very likely to be at a major disadvantage in accessing goods and services, opportunities, resources?
And unfortunately, that's not quite true at all. Let's talk about land, for example, which you covered on for a while. There is a waiting list. If you go right now online and you go under Mashonaland East, they have an application form there for if you want to register online, even from the diaspora, meaning from the United States, you can register for land. You can go on the waiting list. You go through that form and tell and show me or anybody or your viewers where it says party affiliation or what's your card number? There is no way. Anywhere you go, there is no way it will ask you to produce a card, a membership card for the party first before you can access a service or an opportunity. Nowhere, whether it's schools or what, you name it. Land is the one where people talk a lot, and I've put the challenge out there. There are loads of people that get lands or that get opportunities are ordinary Zimbabweans. People just need to know, to take the initiative of doing things. So if there are barriers, they affect every Zimbabwean. If there are opportunities, they are to every Zimbabwe. So, no, I do not believe that my membership, say, for example, of ZANU-PF gives me an advantage in any shape or form. By the way, I do not have any piece of land myself. I'm just me.
Thank you.
So, okay, except what I bought.
Thank you very much, Nick. You're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment, including our social media segment. So please, don't go away.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders. They are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them. Today, not tomorrow. So let's connect. Let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies. Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known. It's Upfront every Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on The Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa. Live from Washington, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Ayen Bior. Take it away, Ayen.
Thanks, Shaka. Zimbabwe's persistent economic woes were a black cloud over its recent 37th Independence Day celebration. But President Robert Mugabe says better times are ahead. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, which asks, do you feel that Zimbabwe can become economically successful under the leadership of President Robert Mugabe? Well, as you can imagine, there certainly has been no shortage of social media comments. But before we begin, I'd like to thank all of you for using our social media platforms to communicate with us. And another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOA Zimbabwe. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOA Shaka. And speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Atan, who says, the problem is arguably not Mugabe. Credit freeze by the West is the cause of the downturn. And we have another tweet from Yusuf Limbs, who says, it is very possible, but only if sanctions are lifted on that country. Very interesting. Well, now to a comment of the week from Facebook fan Ronald Nimawanya in Kabale, Uganda, who writes, a big no. Zimbabwe cannot become economically successful under Mugabe because right now Zimbabwe is facing what we call a depreciation of currency. On top of that, there is a financial crisis ongoing in Zimbabwe. In brief, Zimbabwe needs a revolutionary leader. All right. Well, let's go to another comment from Facebook fan Andrew Hess Fury, who writes, anything is possible. However, I believe economic development is beyond Zimbabwe's reach. It is a combination of problematic internal leadership and the overall international lack of will to support the leadership in Zimbabwe. All right. And now to our last comment of the week from Basija Godfrey, who writes, no, President Mugabe needs to retire and let people choose a new, young, energetic leader who will streamline the economy of Zimbabwe. Right now, he is hindering development because his sole aim is to stay in power until he breathes his last breath. Very interesting. Well, thank you, everybody, for a round of great discussion here. Now, a reminder that we appreciate all the audience feedback. Please keep them coming. And if you're a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comment on our Facebook page. Enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Interact with our show as it's streaming live. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa and follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the latest political developments in Zambia. Will President Edgar Lungu declare a state of emergency after public buildings were torched in attacks? He blames the violence on opposition members protesting the arrest of their leader, Hakainde Hichilema. an in-depth discussion on Zambia on the next Straight Talk Africa. Well, that's all for today's social media segment. Shaka, you and the guest have a lot of social media comments to get to. Back to you.
Ayen, thanks a lot for sharing with us some of the social media reaction. And welcome back to the significance of Zimbabwe's 37th independence anniversary. Our distinguished guests are Moya Lynn Nyaundi, a Zimbabwean human rights lawyer, my colleague Blessing Zuru, VOA Zimbabwe reporter. And from London, we have via Skype Nick Mangwana, ZANU-PF, UK chairperson. I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled again to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you. Exciting program.
You're most welcome. Let me come to you, Moya, for your reaction. You had, obviously, the social media reaction. You also had your compatriot from London, Nick Mangwana, making a case that independence has obviously been wonderful, and he's right, that there was a barrier, a major barrier, frankly, of race, and it is no longer in place. And right now, as we talk, and as far as Zimbabwe is concerned, and Zimbabweans are concerned, you have some sort of socio-economic justice for all. How do you react to that?
I totally agree that race for black people is no longer an issue in Zimbabwe. But the converse is now true, that race is an issue for white people.
Correct.
In Zimbabwe, yet we're all supposed to be Zimbabweans. Mm-hmm. That's the first issue I'd like to raise. The second one is, while race might not necessarily be a barrier, a lot of Zimbabweans would say that political affiliation is a barrier. And from a human rights perspective, I will talk of issues of freedom of assembly, freedom of expression, freedom of association. For example, you have ZANU-PF rallies, which are held. You don't see police in sight. But the minute that opposition parties or anybody that's anti-government protest attempts to, one, ask the police for permission to hold a demonstration, that permission is denied. Opposition party members or civil society have to rush to the High Court to get an order. You don't hear those kind of stories for ZANU-PF gatherings. Furthermore, opposition or civil society gatherings are violently dispersed by the police. The same doesn't apply for a ZANU-PF gathering. So right there you have a discrimination. Then the other...
When you talk about police, are you talking about Zimbabwean police or are you talking about ZANU-PF police?
There's no ZANU-PF police. There's Zimbabwe Republic Police. It's state. We have only one police department. That's ZRP. And then we've got, of course, the army and many branches of, but we have just the state police.
So are you talking, are you saying or suggesting that, for example, there is really no separation, for example, of the ruling party, ZANU-PF, and the state? Are they fused?
Of course, that's one of the challenges that a lot of civil society organizations have been raising, that there's no separation of powers. You're supposed to have, once you have a police force is supposed to be nonpartisan. It's supposed to be a police force that stands for everybody. But of course, that's not true. You have opposition activists being arrested, arbitrarily detained, but that doesn't apply unless you fall out of favor, you know, from ZANU-PF.
I see.
You find yourself at the wrong end of the stick. But as I said, you know, you have a discrimination based on political affiliation. And there are so many other examples. Food aid. He talked of land.
Access to land?
Yes, access to land. You have, I think he can even confirm that you have members of ZANU-PF who have fallen out of favor of ZANU-PF who've had their land that they were given by the very same government being repossessed or reinvaded per se because they've fallen out of favor with the ruling party.
Now, given that you happen to be a lawyer, I'll put a question to you that probably is not strange to you. Mm-hmm. Do you have incontrovertible evidence, not liable to falter, in other words, mm-hmm. on that?
Okay. That's where freedom of the press comes in. Journalists, their job is to investigate. That's where the access to information law comes in. Unfortunately, journalists are attacked. They face harassment. They are jailed. So hence that information coming from journalists to the public, that bridge to inform us, the public, to be able to bring these cases to court. Mm-hmm. We have very recently criminal defamation. We had two Herald journalists who published an article relating to corruption and senior police officers being implicated in, not corruption, sorry, in poaching. Senior police officers being implicated in poaching, and they were arrested. So how, as we, the public, are we supposed to raise these issues or have, as you said, evidence, solid evidence, if we're not in a position to do the investigation, if we're not in the position to be informed about these things? So, yes, that would be my answer.
Now, Blessings, the last time I checked, you obviously are paid to cover very closely Zimbabwe. Does this make sense, what Moya is alleging?
I think it makes perfect sense, and evidence is there. As we speak at the moment, the First Lady is expanding her empire. She's kicking out some black farmers who invaded land in 2000, that's 15 years ago.
Dr. Grace Mugabe.
Yes, yes. So as we speak, there are about 200 families with little kids who are sleeping in the open now, because the government is saying that the land that these people invaded in 2000 at the instigation of the government must be moved to accommodate the First Lady. And interestingly, with ZANU-PF, you really don't need to do a lot of research. When there's a fallout, everything comes out.
Really?
You know, now we even know that the political commissar who they want to kick out now, Xavier Kasukwere, he's involved in many dodgy deals. There's also a ZANU-PF linked business tycoon, Philip Chiangwa. He owns, I think, almost half of Harare. You know, this is coming out because they are having a fallout with Kasukwere. And when there are divorces, you had, for example, the then local government minister and now Minister of Home Affairs, Dr. Ignatius Chombo, when they were divorcing with the wife, they listed, you know, all the farms that they had, more than five farms.
When you talk about somebody almost owning Harare, mm-hmm. is that because of a reflection of very, very hard work, or what is it?
According to the minister who is supposed to superintend that land, it's corruption. You know, these are ZANU-PF people. These are not journalists or opposition supporters saying that there is corruption. This is ZANU-PF, you know. Mm-hmm. It's now dog eat dog in ZANU-PF.
I see, I see.
Shaka, can I quickly add something?
Just hold on. We have to go to London now, at least for a while.
London,
Nick Mangwana, I'm sure that you have been following the conversation here, have you?
I have been following, yeah.
Your reaction?
There is a straight policy on land. There are so many people, between 2014 to date, there has been a lot of people. We have been expelled from ZANU-PF for one infraction or the other, and none of them has lost any land. We had people that moved across to the MDC in around 2006 or so, who had been given funds. Then none of them has lost their land. I would challenge my co-panelists in this particular case to just give me one name of a person that lost land when they moved from ZANU-PF. Just one. Not two, not three, one. For that purpose.
Brigadier Mutambara, you remember you moved with Joyce Mujuru. His farm was invaded. Had it not been for the intervention of the courts, he would have lost that that particular farm. The
there
former ambassador.
There you go. You have to make a difference between lawlessness and states. Sponsored invasion or whatever, or confiscation of land. Because confiscation of land is where a different person is given an offer letter to say the land that belonged to Mr. Zulu is now yours. That's confiscation of land. But if there are criminal elements that want to exercise some excesses, and then the due process of the law and the rule of law takes place, and the court
has... Another example, Mr. Mangwana, the case of the First Lady Grace Mugabe, the courts have come out to say those people must not be evicted because it's unconstitutional. The new constitution clearly stipulates now that if you want to evict anyone, the government has to look for alternative accommodation. But those people are being harassed by the police, who are saying that they've been sent by the First Lady, and the court has issued two orders to say leave those people alone or give them alternative accommodation. That has not been done. That's the first lady.
Well, Nick, okay. Nick, unfortunately, there is no democracy in Studio 52. When a producer asks you to go for a break, you have to go. A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. The US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please, don't go away.
Could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/African Beat.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidhi Ewart, and of course this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. My apologies to you, Nick Mangwana, and I say this from the deepest, better part of the bottom of my Kavale heart and soul. I had to intervene only because I had to do that. And I hope you'll find some space in your beautiful heart of Zimbabwe. Forgive me for that.
Well, the heart remains beautiful. So, yeah, the space is enough. There is enough space for love.
Could you pick up from where I interjected, please?
Okay. Now, you see, there are challenges in Zimbabwe, clearly. But let's not mix up issues because we got this to say or that to say or that gripe with that issue or the other. My challenge was on the narrative that if you leave ZANU-PF, as a punitive measure, you will lose land. I put out a challenge on that particular narrative to say one person, giving a name of one person that left ZANU-PF and lost land, not who had criminals invade their land and then they were eventually evicted. So that's one. So if I cannot get that person, so we put that back to say that is not actually, that is not true because there's no evidence of that. Then we go to the next issue. The issue is whatever is happening between the lands that was allocated to the first lady and the people that were considered to be illegally occupying that land. What's happening there? That's a different question altogether, which has nothing to do with the assertions that if you leave ZANU-PF, you will lose land. If I'm not very familiar, I have to say, with this particular case, obviously, because it's not a party case. It's nothing to do with government policy. It's a case between an individual citizen and other citizens. But the fact that you are telling, I'm being told that there are court orders that are being given by an impartial court, again vindicates that in Zimbabwe there is actually rule of law in the sense of that we've got an impartial judiciary. The constitution that's been cited, look, there are things that we have to put in context. I'm not commenting on that particular case, but in terms of somebody saying the constitution says you cannot be evicted if you have nowhere to go. Surely, if I decide today to move into your backyard, and then I stay there, and then when you are trying to evict me, could I claim that the constitution says you have to look for a place for me, or the state has to look for a place for me before you move me? I don't think that's an interpretation which is correct of the constitution. I think it's actually an abuse of the constitution in that sense. But like I said, I'm not commenting about this particular case because it's not what we're talking about, and I'm not very familiar with it. What I'm familiar with are the policies and the benefits that the land reform has given to the people. What I'm familiar with are also the challenges that are there, the socioeconomic challenges that remain in our country that we have to confront as a people. What I agree with your panelists on is the polarization which is in our country, the polarization among citizens, which should not be. Where I disagree with your panelists a bit, with qualifications, of course, in cabinet, on the issue of the partisanship of the police, with particular regard to the issue of demonstrations and rallies. And again, at this point, I will put a challenge. Tell me one demonstration, one ZANU-PF demonstration, rather, which turned violent. Tell me one ZANU-PF rally which turned violent. And I will tell you an equal number of opposition demonstrations and opposition marches that have turned violent.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Nick.
I'm just finishing, and then I'll keep quiet like I normally do when I finish talking. Okay. So if this is one of the things that contaminates contextualize as well the police action. I'm not saying the police in Zimbabwe is clean and holy and everything. No, I'm not saying that. I'm sorry, Nick.
We have to be democratic. We have to be democratic, and in fact, I have to go frankly for the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. I hope you don't mind. Good evening, John Paul from Nigeria. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka. Sorry, good evening, our guests.
I'm hugely terrific. You sound like you seem to have several names, do you?
That's my phone name.
What's your question?
My question is this. Why is it that the opposition parties in any country, like my own country, when they move, what they do is now they now join the ruling party, leaving their own party, instead of them to sit back and fight for the rights of the members of the society. Like what is happening in Nigeria, do you see that all the people that were in PDP, now they are now joining APC because of security and one reason or another. Why is it so in Africa? Is it because of money or because of security or because of what they will gain from the government?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I gather that we do have another caller from Ghana. Good evening. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. You have a minute.
Good evening, Shaka.
I am terrific. How are you? Is that tougher?
Yes, sir.
I see. What is your question? You have a minute, please.
Shaka, my question to ZANU-PF money in London. When President Mugabe confiscated the land and gave it to the party people, did you talk about the replication, what is happening now? Didn't you think that he only did that to please the party people, not the reality? Because if you look at the way the white people were managing the funds very well, and all of a sudden Zimbabwe is facing this kind of challenges, don't you think he just did that to please his party people? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let me give you an opportunity, first of all, Moya, for at least answering a bit of what was raised by Nick from London. Among other things, he actually said that there is an impartial judiciary in Zimbabwe. Earlier, you seem to have said, if I heard correctly, that in fact, on the contrary, in Zimbabwe, there is no separation of the ruling party and the state. So who is correct here?
I would like to first respond to the partisanship of the police. And he said,
you have a minute.
Yes, he asked me if ZANU-PF demonstrations were violent. You have situations whereby the opposition party or civil society have gathered, and it's the police that have actually attacked protesters, peaceful protesters. And of course, it turns violent. People get attacked with tear gas, they respond. But if you don't have the same situation for ZANU-PF rallies, then naturally you're not going to have a violent situation. So that's my response to his. And then the other question, if I'm related to
the impartiality of the
Yes, the judiciary. So we've had situations whereby, yes, the judiciary has held decisions in favor of just decisions. But you have situations where he has mentioned that the police completely ignore those decisions, and there's no rule of law there. And then just recently, we've had Amendment Bill No. 1, right, whereby we have a new constitution that has distinctly separated the judiciary from the executive by through the selection of members of the Chief Justice, the Deputy Chief Justice. But you have efforts by the executive to try and amend a recently promulgated constitution, the First Amendment is to try and give back the president powers to select the Chief Justice. So again, you have a situation whereby we succeeded in our 2013 constitution to separate the executive and the judiciary, but they're trying to reverse those gains as we speak. And that's that's very worrisome.
You seem to be describing the presidency in Zimbabwe as the imperial presidency.
You said it, not me.
Well, what about you, my colleague, Blessings? Surely we can't just talk about the negatives about Zimbabwe. There must be some major, major positive accomplishments. Mm-hmm. For example, talk about command agriculture. Mm-hmm. It has been so successful, at least according to the authorities, that in fact they might extend it to command education and command health. What are we talking about?
I think the success of the harvest this year is not, cannot be attributed to government per se, but to the resilience of Zimbabweans themselves, because the government did try to give people inputs, but they came late and, but Zimbabweans themselves, because of the diaspora population, they did manage to do very well. And Zimbabwe has a lot of things, good things going on. You also have the youth, who constitute 60% of the population. I mean, even for people who might want to invest, that's something that is really positive there. And then in terms of the resources, I think the country is blessed with all the resources, Chaka, that you can think of, gold, diamonds, and stuff like that. So I think there is hope, and of course we also talked about the issue of education. I think that will be President Robert Mugabe's legacy. Zimbabweans are an educated lot, because of those government policies. But of course, we are now beginning to see some of those things being eroded.
Are we looking at the possibility of the reincarnation of the great Mwene Mutapa kingdom here?
Of course, that is the hope, for everyone. I think despite the problems, I think there is hope. As Chaka will say, we have to keep hope alive.
Where to go? Nick, you have 30 seconds. Have the last word. 30 seconds.
Sorry, I missed your question.
You have 30 seconds. The last word.
Oh, the last word.
Yes, please.
Zimbabwe is facing a lot of challenges, but most of the challenges that Zimbabwe is facing are birth pains. Some are of our own making, like corruption. We have to confront corruption with everything that we have, but we cannot detract or ignore the fact that there is a state that declared sanctions on Zimbabwe, in which their top official said they will make the Zimbabwean economy scream. So when the Zimbabwean economy is screaming, people should not look any further than this particular pronunciation. But as a people, we are resilient. Let's fight together. Let's come together and fight for our country. Fight for our country in terms of investing in it ourselves, selling it out there to people that want to invest.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, time is not our best ally. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Moyeline Nyaundi, my colleague Blessing Zulu, and Gazira Chirumanzu, who joined us from by telephone from Bulawayo, and of course from London, we had via Skype Nick Mangwana, ZANU-PF UK chairperson. Thanks to affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Zimbabwe. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.